You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
The name's Dick Baloney, like the humble sandwich meat.
More like Mr. Full of Baloney.
Excuse us for one second, Mr. Baloney.
Full of Baloney?
Maybe this bad guy is transforming into a good guy. Like a reverse werewolf!
For the last time, there are no reverse werewolves!
Hello and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for DuckTales Season 2, Episode 3, The Ballad of Duke Baloney. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I am your other host, Curtis Findlay.
And wow, what an episode. I watched this one twice. We actually we watched this one together along with the Junior Woodchucks. And Kara and Samantha as well. And our wives were somewhere in there and they weren't really paying attention, but,
they were talking too loudly in the kitchen and I couldn't hear the episode as well as I wanted to.
Right. I know. It's a good thing they don't listen to this. It's a good thing that they barely tolerate the podcasting. but they certainly don't listen. Yeah, no, I definitely had to rewatch it because I know that I missed a lot of jokes. And this episode was rapid fire.
Oh, man, was it ever.
Because it is a Glomgold-centric episode. Therefore, if there isn't a joke every 30 seconds, you're doing something wrong. Man, so much
so
fun.
To everybody who has not been on the fence with this new version of Glomgold, saying that he's just a joke, you can't take him seriously. Where's the threat? Like, I think this episode firmly cements Glomgold in this new DuckTales mythos.
Yeah.
Just being maniacal, you can see his treachery. And it extends just beyond, you know, strapping bombs to sharks and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he did some pretty brutal things in this one episode. Gave him his backstory. It gave him motivation. Like, we learn a whole ton about him. And it really transforms the way you look at this character now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, it does. It's interesting because it's a story and the structure of it is meant to reflect a sympathetic villain story. So you're supposed to get vibes that, like, oh, well, there's a reason why Glomgold is this way, except that every time you get to one of those moments, they subvert it. And it turns out, no, he's just always been a jerk. It's not that Scrooge wronged him. It's not that this or that. No, he's just always been this way. And he's just gotten crazier and crazier and crazier, as the years have gone on. And I just think that that's such a great approach to it, to really use that sort of an archetype and then turn it on its head. It's like always with this show, very, very smart writing, kind of smarter than it deserves to be, smarter than it should be for a kids show about billionaire ducks, but
still entertaining. So
absolutely. Cool. We don't really have any news. I guess the only real news going around right now is that those the wave two of the Funko Disney Afternoon figures are starting to hit shelves. So if you are if you're in the market, head out and see if you can track them down. I know a lot of the people in the groups on Facebook have already managed to find them. I'll probably be heading out either this weekend or next weekend to see if I can track down a couple.
That'd be good. Yeah, they're going to look great.
Yeah.
The other piece of news that I have, I forgot to write it down on our little list here, is that ABC or Disney Channel has released an image of the DuckTales Christmas episode that's coming up.
Yeah.
And that's going to be airing on, I believe, November the 30th. So, and in that, you can clearly see, like, the whole cast is there, plus the three ghosts from a Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, which, of course, famously remade as Mickey's Christmas Carol in the 80s. Yep. But these ghosts are not, like, they're not the same as the ghosts, because the ghosts in Mickey's Christmas Carol are all actual characters, like Jiminy Cricket and Pete.
Yeah.
Peg Leg Pete. And the giant from Mickey and the Beanstalk.
Yeah.
But these ghosts don't have those personalities built into them, so they are all new characters. So we don't know which direction they're heading toward, but it should be a good episode
because
everyone's going to be there.
Can we talk about the most exciting thing in that image, at least for me?
Sure, go for it. I know you're going to say this.
So we can infer from the image that Launchpad McQuack is actually Jewish, or at least has some Jewish heritage, because he's wearing a blue sweater, a blue Christmas sweater, with what appears to be a menorah on it. And that is pretty awesome. I think that that's really cool that they are implying that. I don't know, like, we'll have to wait and see with the episode if there's a little bit more to it. But I don't know. I just think that that's really cool. I think it's fun to play with that character. They could go to some cool places with that if they want to, if they want to play that up. So,
it's just very fitting that your favorite character is Jewish.
Yeah. It makes me very happy. It makes me very happy that they're adding that dimension to Launchpad. I don't know. I I want them to do the Christmas special with the full cast and then just do a Hanukkah special with Launchpad and his best friend Dewey. just the two of them.
Yeah, sure.
If that's all of the news, then let's jump into the episode.
Yep, let's do it. Oh, you want me to do that? Okay. So after his disappearance, Glaumgold resurfaces as anything but his ever-scheming self, while Webby and Louie try to uncover the truth behind who is Duke Baloney. Airdate, November 3rd, 2018. Writer Colleen Evanson and director Jason Zurich. And this is a new name, Jason. This is Jason Zurich's first episode for DuckTales, so welcome aboard at the director's table there, Jason. And man, you did a bang up job with this.
Solid work on this episode. I can see why they might bring in somebody different, because there's some tonally interesting stuff in this episode.
It goes all over the place.
It goes to some places that we haven't gone on DuckTales. One of the things that I found really interesting is that actually some of the background plates in this episode were very different from what we're used to seeing. And I kind of feel like that's in part, I mean, like the director is going to influence that for sure. Especially because in animation, directors will sometimes even draw sketches and that sort of thing to help the storyboard artists get their vision across, right? So there were a few backgrounds that were very unique. The one that sticks out the most to me was Glomgold's office. It was very almost like fisheye lens when there's the one shot when he bursts in and Scrooge is sitting at the desk and Allison is behind the desk and kind of comes around it. There's like his office is very long and narrow with these pillars, right? And it almost kind of like stretches out to one side. And I just thought that that was really interesting because it was much more loose and much more with the bold very, shapes.
Yeah, even more stylized than DuckTales usually.
Yeah, gets. And I felt like it was probably a stylistic choice that they made because it is Glomgold's office. So I think that they wanted it to feel a little bit unnerving, almost like kind of crazy. Like he's crazy. Like his office would be weird and chaotic. The dream sequence. Is also such a departure for what we're used to seeing. But why don't we start with one of your favorite moments in the episode?
Okay, well, right at the beginning, when they are introducing. So one of the cool things about this is that the little teaser before the theme song. Yeah. is taken directly from Shadow War. That's a really cool thing that we haven't seen DuckTales do yet. Is like very directly reference, like say here's what happened kind of during one of the previous episodes. It's a comic book thing to do that kind of thing, is revisit an old scene and insert a story in there, which was just a throwaway gag in Shadow War. Because of that, We meet a new character. Her name is Zan Owlson, and she is the new, I guess, the new CEO or something of Glomgold Industries, now that Glomgold's missing. And so she says, I love it in the interview with the reporter. I can't remember the reporter's name. She says, we cut unnecessary departments like harebrained schemes and mindless revenge.
Yeah.
And the company was spending an awful lot of money on sharks. I love it. I love that he has actual departments called harebrained schemes and mindless revenge. And he probably employs, he's got, you know, a team of 10 or 15 people in there that their only job is to think up harebrained schemes.
Yeah. And work on his PowerPoint presentations and whatnot.
Yes.
Which he manages to do with the cardboard. The first one that I'll bring up is just really, really quick. Just at the beginning of the episode when they're talking about, oh, that's Glomgold, he's got amnesia, or maybe he's to whatever. And then Webby brings up reverse werewolves. And Louis like stops her and he's like, for the last time, there are no reverse werewolves. So I just love that. One of the things that I love the most about this series is how we don't see every second of their lives. They actually build into the storytelling the fact that things happen in between episodes. And sometimes that's a cold open where, you know, we're coming in at the end of an adventure or even after an adventure is over and they're just coming home for R&R or whatever, right? But they also, like, they imply that there are entire adventures that we just never see. Like, they happen off screen, they happen in between. Maybe it was a comic book story, maybe it was whatever. And this idea that Webby is constantly going on about reverse werewolves.
Yeah, she's got a whole theory about them
that
Louis is constantly trying to refute.
Yeah, I just love that because that's the sort of seed that you sow. And in season 3, you do an episode with reverse werewolves. And then we all get to laugh at that joke. So I hope that that's where that's going. I really hope that we get a reverse werewolf at some point.
Yeah,
in the future, it would be really fun.
Totally.
But
while we're on this topic, can I just mention about Webby and Louie?
Yeah.
This is a dynamic that we haven't seen before in DuckTales so far. Just the two of them being a team. Because Webby and Louie have been paired for most of the time that they get get the spotlight. And as we saw in the first episode of the season, they've become a really well-oiled machine, and they really play into each other's strengths and even kind of into each other's mania surrounding whatever adventure they're on.
Yeah.
But the dynamic between Webby and Louis is so different, because Webby still tries to do that, but Louis will have none of it.
Yeah.
And he just he doesn't want to get involved. He doesn't want to do things to, you know, stick his neck out there or anything like that, because that's, you know, that's Louis. So the combination between the two meant that we could see not only how well Webby and Dewey work together, but just a better dynamic between these two. And I can't help but wonder what Webby and Huey, what a team up between those two would be like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and I think that's one of the fun things about the show, is that they're constantly sort of pairing up two characters and seeing how that works. And these two characters are a little bit oil and water, right?
Yep.
Louis wants to just be left alone and drink his pep and watch TV, watch some Ottoman Empire, right? And Webby is very proactive and energetic and a little bit wacky. So, I mean, the two of them playing off of each other, I'm sure that it was a difficult dynamic, because at the same time that it can create some funny moments, it's sort of the antithesis of storytelling, because at every turn, Webby is like, let's go do this adventure thing. And then Louis is going to be like, I don't want to. And how
do you move the plot forward? Still?
So they, I think that they nailed it by making Webby more zany than I wouldn't say than usual, but sort of like she's on the Webby spectrum. This is like towards the zanier end, and right. Then making Louis the straight man to kind of anchor that and bring it back and say the things that we're thinking, like reverse werewolf, that's ridiculous. And as well to sort of be the skeptic to her dreamer, right? As she's kind of like, oh, well, maybe there's all these things going on, and he's just like, no, Glomgold's just a con man. It kind of keeps us guessing throughout the episode, like, is he actually suffering from amnesia? Is this a scheme? Will he revert to his old ways? Yeah, like what's going on?
Yeah.
So it does do a good job of sort of making us go back and forth, especially when we get to the point in the episode. And I think that both of us have this as one of our favorite moments.
Yeah.
Duke Baloney's,
yeah, it's so funny,
ridiculous schemes. And this is one of the things that cues us in that this is in fact Glomgold 100%. And he's, whether he's lost his memory and he seems like a sweeter version of Glomgold or not, that competitive streak comes out, and then
yes,
the dynamite. When you can't afford lasers on sharks, you got to resort to dynamite in a fish's mouth. And in particular, the moment where he puts the ladyfish in the little dress, and then he pulls it back up and he goes, Duke, what are you thinking? And you think like, oh, maybe he has turned over a new leaf. Nope. And then he drops both down and he's got a ladyfish and a manfish. And he's like, now I'll catch twice as many fish. And it's just, it's a great moment of like kind of commentary on like sort of the social dynamics in 2018, but, it kind of like in a tongue in cheek fun way, not sort of poking fun at anybody or like doing anything negative, but just sort of the equality and equal rights and all that sort of thing. It's kind of poking fun at that without being mean about it, and ultimately it's actually kind of pro equality, because he's like, well, now I'll catch twice as many fish. It's like he's saying like, no, these are both valid, these are both equal. But it does, it, you do get that moment of like, Is he seeing that this is ridiculous? Nope, he's not. His brain doesn't work like ours. It's a good moment.
Yeah. Well, and my second moment is definitely part of one of these things as well. Duke's scheme for getting all the fish with his makeshift PowerPoint presentation made out of cardboard and a pizza box or whatever it is, his crude drawings. And I love that there's a very subtle, I think they're hinting at the fact that Glomgold has feelings for the fish named Man, the ladyfish named Man. And like, there's this kind of a, I don't even remember. I have to watch the episode again to find the points. But the thing that clued me in was that in one of his drawings, he draws both Fisher and Man, his two employers,
yeah,
as mermaids.
Yeah.
But Fisher has like this tight six pack, and Man, the woman has this tight like is really really fit and has a six pack, and I thought that was a really funny way to draw that. I think he's got a really good vision of who she is. It's great.
Yeah, he's definitely Duke Bologna or Flint Heart Glomgold, it doesn't really matter. He's still twisted. He's still just generally a little bit off, which is definitely evidenced in his dream sequence. The Twin Peaks style cinematic dream sequence, and there are so many references inside this dream sequence we talked about this
any dream sequence.
Really any dream sequence, but so much of Twin Peaks, as well as there's a lot of like Hitchcock and Twilight Zone sort of imagery in there as well.
All that kind of stuff. Yep.
But the best part, the number one best part of the dream sequence is the actual duck with the top hat on in the treasure chest. It's just like it's absurd. It's completely absurd that like in this world with
anthropomorphic ducks,
he then sees a vision of a real duck. A
real duck with a top hat.
Still animated in a treasure chest. Still animated, but animated in a way to let us know like, no, this is a real duck. I loved it. It's just pure genius. The whole sequence is pure genius, and it's so well animated. There's that scene, and then there I'll talk about that the next piece in a second. What's one more of yours?
Okay, my last one is the big reveal at the end when Glomgold kind of gets his memory back, mm-hmm. and he's like taking over the little dinghy that that Louis and Webby are in, and lightning strikes in his beard, his fake beard, the black one that his Duke Bologna disguise, burns off, and he pulls out his Glomgold beard out of his pocket and straps it back on, and Louis's like, he had it in his pocket the whole time. I laughed out loud from that one. That was a great line.
It was. That was pretty good. my last thing that I want to mention is Duke's flashback. So this is when we get like the true origin story, and I love how it reflects Scrooge's origin story. It's in South Africa, which...
We'll talk more about that in the behind the scenes.
It's so good. Scrooge is fresh off an adventure, needs to get his spats cleaned up, and Duke Bologna is there to do it. And in that moment when we think like, oh, Scrooge is about to pass it on, pay it forward, right? The lesson of self-reliance that he learned when he was a young lad, as he would say. And he tries to pass this on to Duke, and instead unwittingly creates his greatest enemy, but just
at least his longest standing rival.
His most persistent enemy. and the animation—it
was brilliant. It was a great
Just when Duke gets up on the box to yell at him about everything, and he kind of turns sideways and points it at, and it's just, there are so many great character moments, and it's Glomgold, right? So we've talked about this before. The way that they structured that character just makes for fun animation, and you can tell that the animators have a good time with this character because he's supposed to be absurd. We're not supposed to take him seriously. So you can kind of contort him or twist him around and get him to do weird things. And especially like when he gets heated, he gets more animated, which is saying a lot for a DuckTales character. They do some really great stuff in that scene.
It wasn't just the animation on Glomgold when he was standing on that box in the flashback as a kid is fantastic. But then also Scrooge, his reactions and the way he interacted in that scene was really good too. Because oftentimes, especially in TV show animation, it's like you try to cut back on the movements because your budget isn't as big or whatever, so you have just a static character standing there while the other character who's doing the crazy animation does the crazy animation. But in this one, Scrooge was moving and interacting and making faces or whatever while Glomgold was doing his wild outtakes, and it was fantastic. And then they Glomgold grabs Scrooge by the neck or by the collar and and it was just fantastic. There was some really, really nice animation. And then there's one scene, you mentioned this as well, when Glomgold's like coming out of the water and like the bubbles come around and like there's just some really great perspective as Glomgold swims past the camera. There's just some beautiful stuff in here.
Yeah, it is really a fantastic episode from sort of tip to tail. They did a really good job with this one and gave a character that's been, I don't know, I guess he's been a little bit controversial, but around here, a fan favorite. They gave him his due, and I think that's really cool that, we talked about it early in this season, right? A couple weeks ago. It's like, oh, what are they going to do? Sort of last season, we got our episodes that kind of focused on everybody and we learned more about them. What are we going to get in season two? And here we have an opportunity to explore a character that we haven't really explored yet. So,
And that's you bring up a good point there. The we get a hint of what the overarching story here is going to be. Mm-hmm. Because at the end, Glomgold challenges Scrooge to, like, who can make the bigger fortune in a set number of hours or like, a set amount of time.
Yeah.
And that, of course, is a very famous DuckTales and comic book, Uncle Scrooge comic book story, where they have to compete to see who can get the most money in a set amount of time. They built a five-part story around it in DuckTales, in the original DuckTales show. And this one looks like it could stretch longer than that.
Yeah, I think it'll. I think it'll be the majority of the season. And
I hope.
I think it could end up being a point of contention, because I think similar to last season, where we had the dueling mythologies of Magica and Della and the search for Della. This season, I think that we'll have the richest duck in the world versus the rescue mission, right? And I think that they'll kind of pit those two things against each other at a certain point. And we could,
I'm sure,
we could see a moment where Scrooge has to make a choice of, does he beat Glomgold or does he kind of forsake his fortune in favor of rescuing Della. And I think we know which way he'll go if that's the way that the story goes. Obviously he'll side with family, but I also think that that's a really cool opportunity because the wager is that whoever is the richest at the end of the year, gives their fortune to the other. And that settles it once and for all, where, whoever wins will be the richest duck in the world because they'll have both of their fortunes. So you could see a storyline playing out where Scrooge has to give up. He has to concede it in order to rescue Della. And then season three is, well, they've rescued Della, but now they don't have all that money. And what is Scrooge McDuck without all the money in the world, without being the richest duck in the world, right?
Well, that's interesting because they really have been downplaying that portion of Scrooge McDuck in the show. So, I mean, the Scrooge is the adventurer. He loves adventure. Yeah. He can do that whether he's rich or poor.
Yeah, well, obviously, but it's more difficult when you don't have money for fuel for your plane or a place to put your plane.
That's very true.
Or a plane. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, all he has to do is walk into a casino and adventure follows him. So, it's true. I mean, he doesn't have to have money. It's true. It seeks him out.
Yeah. Do you want to jump into the behind the scenes stuff?
Yes. Okay. So there are, I only watched this episode 1.5 times, so I think I probably missed a few references here and there. But the ones that stuck out to me, Zan Alston, they say that she went to the Mouston School of Business, and Mouston was a spot on Scroogeopoly in the last episode, or in the first episode of the season. And we made a special note about talking about that in our episode. So they're bringing this up again.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's cool. And then, okay, so, the whole thing with Duke Bologna dates back to Walt Disney's Comics and Stories number 148, which is called Turkey with All the Schemings. And in this one, there's like a different version of Donald, not really an evil version, but it's kind of like a mirror world, a Star Trek reference mirror world version of Donald, where he's called Duke of Bologna. And this character is the second richest duck in the world. And this was before Glomgold had been created.
Interesting.
And so, yeah. And so they took this character who's the second richest duck in the world. And then when Glomgold was created, he was famously the second richest duck in the world. And then, because Duke of Bologna is only a one-time character. Hmm. Gone and forgotten. So they've combined these two characters together, by having Glomgold in this show have the persona of Duke Bologna. And so I think that's fun. And then also, they make reference in this episode that he's not really Scottish, that he's from South Africa. And that is definitely a reference to the comics, because in the comics, Glomgold's South African. There's nothing, he's not Scottish at all. And it's only because of when they were making the show in the 80s, and just the political climate surrounding the apartheid in South Africa, they didn't want to have Glomgold to be a South African character, so they made him Scottish.
Yeah.
So they are reconciling all of these different little pieces of Glomgold's history and the Duke of Bologna, and writing a brand new continuity that folds it all in together, and I thought it was quite brilliant.
Yeah, genius. I love it when comics do stuff like this, where they can do their own thing, do a new thing, put their own spin on it, but then tie it into the classic incarnation, put that into the backstory and make it true to the original, even more than the most famous incarnation of the character.
Yeah.
So... yeah.
And I think if you listen back to one of our first episodes, I'm pretty sure that we predicted that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because we suspected that Glomgold was not Scottish, because there's, you know, he took off his beard in one episode, and they just the way that he boasts about being more Scottish than Scrooge. Yeah. We suspected that he might be South African, actually.
Yeah.
That this could actually be a possibility, and sure enough, here it is.
Yep.
So awesome.
Cool. And it, what is that it? That's all the,
no, there's a couple other things here. Now there's One scene in the flashback, we saw Scrooge and Glaumgull climbing up this tower, and at the top of it is a magic lamp.
Yes.
Looks like Aladdin's lamp. And that's a famous scene from the original DuckTales. It's from the episode Master of the Genie, but that scene is used as like the climax of the theme song. Yeah. Right before they break to the title, and they play it out almost exactly the same in this episode, just from a much more dramatic angle.
Yeah,
and so it's great. It was great to see that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Webby's board that she has, not in this episode, the one that she showed us in the first episode with all of the different strings to Scrooge's family history, there's one little post-it note that says, who is DB? Question mark. And then equals, and then it says GG, like someone's name, G-I-G-I.
Mm-hmm.
And that fits in with this episode, DB being Duke Bologna, of course, and GG stands for Glaumgold, perhaps?
Hmm.
The only question I have is, how does she have that on the board if she's only meeting Duke Bologna for the first time in this episode?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But
interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Well,
there we are.
Let's see what our junior woodchucks think about this episode. I'm interested to hear what their opinions are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's check that out.
Hello, this is the Junior Woodchuck Podcast. My name is Peter.
My name is Milo, and we're going to be talking about Ballad of Duke Bologna.
Bologna! Well, I remember in one episode with the ponies, like the golf course, Launchpad said very seriously, Bologna, trampoline. I remember that, right, Milo?
Uh-huh.
So,
I think Duke Bologna got the end of his name from that.
Anyways, I like how it all starts, the whole episode starts from a different episode. The last episode of season one.
Peter, what were your favorite part?
Well, I would say the dream that Duke Bologna, aka Glaumgold, had. Because it had like flint in a heart of gold. I mean, flint in the shape of a heart, and gold. And then when he woke up, he's like, "Huh, it was just a dream." They don't really mean anything. Well, the thing is, he forgot who he was, so he ended up being called Duke Bologna.
My favorite part was when Duke Bologna, a.k.a. Flintheart Glaumgold, forgot all his memory.
And I'm actually surprised he stole something from Scrooge McDuck when he was a child. That's actually pretty surprising to me.
What was the silliest part? For me, it was the part at the end when they're, like, holding their hands like that, like a fist, just halfway like a fist, and staring at each other, eyes wide open.
The silliest part for me was, actually, I don't know. There's a bunch of funny parts. So, well, they did talk about a contest at the end of the episode. So, what do you think will happen next time?
I think what will happen is Glaumgold will steal more money from Scrooge and become the richest duck in the world.
Milo, stop.
Dun, dun, dun.
What I think will happen is, well, both of each other's banks will overflow.
Ooh.
Peter signing off.
Milo signing off.
See you next time on Junior Woodchuck Podcast.
A Okay, let's go on to our lucky dime rating. Mike, what do you give this one out of 5 dimes?
I've watched it twice. I enjoyed it both times. I gotta say, I'm gonna give this 4 dimes. 4 dimes. It's a really good episode. It's focused on Glomgold, so it's not really, I don't know. I guess at the very end it moves the mythology storyline ahead, or at least it establishes a starting point for it. But I don't know. It's not what I would consider a perfect episode. I want more of the cast in order for it to get to that 50 cent range.
No launch pad means no perfect mark. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's pretty close to it. Yeah. But it does have Louis, and Louis is my second favorite character in the series. So
that's true. Well, I'm going to give it a straight 5 right at the top there, because not only was it a fantastic story, diving into a character that we didn't expect to get much of a backstory of, and with fantastic animation, great direction. Like, I thought it hit all of the high marks there. Yeah, maybe there's no launch pad, but I didn't even notice that. To be perfectly honest.
For sure. I didn't when I was watching it. It's only because we're examining it now that I'm thinking about it.
Right.
But I don't know. I just also really like the episodes that have everybody, that sort of are the family adventures.
Right.
I like those more than I like the pair up episodes, because it's kind of those two flavors. It's either the whole family going, or we've got just two going off to have an adventure.
Well, let's go over to Twitter and talk about our episode ranking here. Yeah. We have, as I suspected last time, Shadow War took the cake again with 48% of the votes.
Wow.
Last Crash of the Sun Chaser with 25%. And then I was very close for the bottom. Most Dangerous Game Night came in at 14%. And then Depths of Cousin Feathery came in at 13%. So I suspected that Cousin Feathery would not make the cut. Mm-hmm. And then sure enough, yeah, that one's out. So that means we get to put in this one here, The Ballad of Duke Baloney.
Mm-hmm.
And the Twitter poll is active right now, so you can go ahead and cast your vote.
I'll tell you one thing. Duke is not going to be happy if he's not voted number one. He's going to have a real problem with that. So just keep that in mind when voting.
Okay.
Cool. Next episode. This is an exciting one. The Town Where Everyone Was Nice. Donald reunites with his band, the Three Caballeros, while the family takes in the sights of a Brazilian town with a dark secret. So, like I said, two flavors, right? We get the paired up episodes, and we get the family episodes. And this one seems like it's going to be much more of a family focused one, but also exciting because it is Donald centric. And we're gonna bring in the other two of the Three Caballeros. So
this one is destined to be a fan favorite, for sure. I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely.
This is like, yeah, I think for some people this is like my level of Darkwing hype. I know that those characters hold a special place in a lot of people's hearts. I don't personally have any connection because I just never watched any of those ones when I was a kid. But I know.
Oh yeah, well they're very skippable in the sense that they were made. I'll go into some of their history because it's actually quite fascinating. In the next episode, or when we get to that episode, episode. I think most people really like them because they have a fairly big presence at the parks.
They do, yeah.
So you see them a lot there, and they're just fun. They're fun characters.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Well, I guess that's it for this week's episode. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See you next afternoon.
Don't forget, you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com. DuckTales.com, where you'll find everything DuckTales and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ToonAfternoon, as well as on Twitter at ToonAfternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at ToonAfternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KURTISFINDLAY.
And I'm on Twitter at ArkWulf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack and pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with a Disney company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.